Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, folks. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. I want to welcome you to our program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord Jesus at the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in to the program today. And before we start things off today, last Sunday, my wife and I spent the day with the people of Lifeline Baptist Church in Haverhill, Massachusetts. We were there all day Sunday as I preached on current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And we had such a wonderful time over there. It was a real blessing. And we just, again, folks, just had a wonderful, wonderful time. And the Lord indeed really blessed our time over there. Chris DiGiacomo is the pastor of that church. And a good friend of mine, and him and his family, just a real blessing. That church family over there is just a real blessing. And we just had a wonderful, wonderful time. And they really responded well to the messages, and they really took a lot of Holy Land gifts that we had on our display table. And so just had a wonderful time there, and we really appreciate Pastor Chris DiGiacomo and the people of Haverhill Baptist Church for having us in. And now, beginning tomorrow, April the 10th, we'll be doing a four-day Bible Prophecy Conference, and that is going to be at Solid Rock Baptist Church in Blackstone, Massachusetts. And we will be there for 4 days, Sunday through Wednesday. That will be April 10th through the 13th, Solid Rock Baptist Church in Blackstone, Massachusetts. So if you live anywhere in the area, we encourage you to come on out. If you don't have a church home, come on out on Sunday. Then, of course, we'll be there Monday, Tuesday, and then the final night will be Wednesday. So we encourage you to come on out and join us as I look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. That's Solid Rock Baptist Church, Blackstone, Massachusetts. You can visit my website, Today in Bible Prophecy. .org. Click on my calendar of events, and you'll see all the information for Solid Rock Baptist Church, their website. Everything is on there for you to take a look at. The address and everything is on there. And again, if you live anywhere in the area, we would love to have you come on out and join us as I preach on current world events in light of biblical prophecy. Folks, I'll tell you, we've been getting a lot of sign-ups for people to join us on our Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel scheduled for this fall, September 3rd through the 14th. That will be 11 days, and we'd love to have you join us in Israel. Again, September 3rd through the 14th this year, 2016. It will be Israel, and it will also be Petra in southern Jordan. So you'll get two countries for the price of one. I will be teaching Bible prophecy on all locations there in Israel and, of course, in Petra. If you would like to join my wife and I in Israel this fall, then contact our tour operator, Israel Trips LLC. Their toll-free number is 1-888-300-3038. That is 1-888-300-3038. Ask for my tour agent, Eyal Evan. His name is spelled E-Y-A-L. Eyal Evan, E-V-A-N. Let him know that you would like to join August Rosado in Israel this fall for the Bible Prophecy Tour of the Holy Land. If you have any questions for me about the tour, then send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy. That's one word, todayinbibleprophecy, prophecy spelled with a C, @gmail.com. If you would like a return phone call, you can include your phone number in there, and I will get back to you and try to answer any questions you might have concerning the tour. If you have never been Israel, folks, you need to go at least once in your lifetime. Going to Israel is like walking onto a stage. The actors have long departed, but the props are still there. Or as a late Zola Levitt used to say, 10 days in Israel is equivalent to 4 years of Bible college. And I have one lady who joined us on a tour a few years back, and she said, I thought I knew the Bible until I went to Israel. And so, folks, I encourage you to join us in the Holy Land. You can also go to the website of our tour operator, ChristianToursToIsrael.com. Now, they have a new name, Israel Trips LLC, but the web address is the same, ChristianToursToIsrael.com. Their toll-free number's on there. And again, get a hold of Eyal Evan. Let him know that you want to join us in Israel this fall, September 3rd through the 14th, 2016. We have one of the cheapest prices for Israel tours that are going on out there today. One small price for two countries. And again, I'll be teaching Bible prophecy on location. We're looking to take between 15 and 20 people on this tour. If you don't receive, our newsletters, they go out every single week. Again, go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. While you're there, you can type in your email address in the sign-up box. Type your email address in there, and you'll start receiving our newsletters that go out every single week. We have a bunch of Holy Land gifts that we just brought back from Israel, and you'll have an opportunity to purchase some of those Holy Land gifts. Take a piece of Israel home with you, and I hope that that would be a blessing to you. Again, my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Also, if you would be interested in having me come to your church for a Bible prophecy conference, again, get a hold of me. August.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. That's my personal email address. August.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Also, you can follow me on the social networks. I am on Facebook, simply August Rosado. Send me a friend request. Also, I am on Twitter. You can find me as August Rosado or Bible_prophecy. And you can also find me on LinkedIn, Evangelist August Rosado. So you can follow me on all three of those social networks. And you can stay in touch with us, what's going on in the ministry. We might even be at a church near you. The topic that I would like to talk about today is Jerusalem forever. Olam Yerushalayim, as they would say in Hebrew. Jerusalem is one of the most controversial topics out there in the political arena today, also in the spiritual aspect, Jerusalem is a very controversial subject. Many today are claiming that Jerusalem belongs to them. Many in the Arab world today are saying that Jerusalem belongs to them. Many political powers to be don't recognize Jerusalem as the capital of anybody, never mind the Jewish people. Many nations today say that Jerusalem should be an international city owned by no one. The Jewish people say that Jerusalem is their eternal, undivided capital. Does the Bible substantiate this? And folks, the question, that I should say the answer to that question is a resounding Jerusalem is indeed the eternal, undivided capital of the Jewish people. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has emphasized that time and time again. But it always falls on deaf ears of the international community today. So what I want to do is I want to look at this topic from a news story that just came out, in which, again, international world powers do not recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and the Jewish people, especially the United Nations. So I want to go to that topic right now. And of course, I'd like to start off in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. And folks, it's in that passage that we see David, who becomes king of Israel. David goes to Jerusalem that was under the occupation of the Jebusites at that time. You know, before the conquest of, Joshua and all those guys, when they came into the promised land, the land itself, which was known as Canaan back in biblical times, had a conglomeration of Canaanite factions, which consisted of the Canaanites, Jebusites, Perizzites, Hittites, and all the other ites that were out there. So at that time, Canaan was a conglomeration of these Canaanite factions before Joshua and the Israelites came in, conquered these guys, and allotted the land to the 12 tribes. David comes on the scene after becoming Israel's second king, and he conquers Jerusalem from the Jebusites, and he makes Jerusalem the eternal capital of Israel. But we know that the first time Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible is in Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 1. Adoni-Zedek is the ruler over Jerusalem at that time. That's the first time Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible in Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 1. But we also find in Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 18, Jerusalem was originally known as Salem, S-A-L-E-M, Salem. And, of course, we know that Melchizedek, the high priest, was king over Salem. Salem was an earlier name for the city of Jerusalem. And Melchizedek, the man in whom Abraham honored and gave a tenth of all that he had, to this high priest called Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was the ruler of Salem at that time, later called Jerusalem for the first time in the Bible in Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 1. But when we read the passage, David reigned in Hebron for 7.5. Now, a lot of Christians today say Hebron or Hebron. If you were in Israel and you were to use that word, you know, being pronounced that way, Hebron or Hebron, you would be corrected by Israelis. They would say the correct pronunciation is Hebron, with a V, not with a B. Hebron, or Hebron, or Hebron. So in Hebron, David reigns for 7.5 years, based on verse number 5 of 2 Samuel chapter number 5. This is where the patriarchs and the matriarchs are buried. My wife and I in our tour group visited Hebron for the very first time last year in March. And we spoke, actually the former mayor of Hebron came and spoke to our tour group. And he looked at us and he said, "You are very brave coming here." Because there have been a lot of issues going over there with Palestinian attacks and Palestinian terrorism and so on and so forth. But my tour guide asked me, he said, "Out of all the places you would like to go to this year, where would you like to go?" I said, "Hebron." So he said, "All right." And so we took our tour group there to Hebron. And folks, we had no problems. We had no issues whatsoever. And we visited a place there in Hebron mentioned in Genesis 23 where Abraham purchased this cave from the sons of Seth. And that was the cave of Machpelah. Abraham purchased that cave to bury his wife Sarah, and then later on Isaac, Jacob, Leah, Rebecca, not Rachel. Rachel died on her way to Bethlehem, but the patriarchs and the matriarchs are buried right there in Hebron. And today, you can go to the cave of Machpelah like we did, and you can visit this place called Machpelah, mentioned in Genesis chapter number 23. But folks, it was from that very city that David reigned for 7.5 years before he became king of all Israel. He reigned in Hebron 7.5 years, and then in Jerusalem for 33 years. So a total of 40 years, David reigned. He goes to Jerusalem. David goes to Jerusalem, which, as I said, was under that time under the control of the Jebusites. The Jebusites are mocking David, saying, "Listen, David, you're not going to be able to take the city. The blind and the lame can repel your attack. Never mind us coming up against you. Our very own lame and blind people can hold you back." But David wasn't going to have any of that because King David gave them what for. And so King David took the city of Jerusalem and he made it his capital based on 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 7. There are two places in the Holy Land called the city of David. Bethlehem is also called the city of David. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 verse 11, "For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Mashiach, Messiah, or Christ, the Lord." Yeshua, Jesus, was born in Bethlehem. Nechem, as they say in Hebrew, which is the house of bread. Beit is Hebrew for house. Nechem, Hebrew for bread. So Yeshua was born in the house of bread. That's the reason why Jesus in John chapter 6 calls himself the bread of life. You have the bread of life, who was born in the house of bread. So Bethlehem is also called the city of David because David was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And Jerusalem is also called the city of David, 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 7. And, of course, David was reigning in Jerusalem, born in Bethlehem, reigned in Jerusalem, and so on and so forth. And so David was born in the city of David and became king in the city of David, Jerusalem. Jesus was born in the city of David, Bethlehem, and one day in the future, Jesus will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the city of Jerusalem. So Bethlehem and Jerusalem are both referred to as the city of David. Jerusalem is mentioned 764 times in the Bible. It's mentioned 623 times in the Old Testament and 141 times, in the New Testament. Now, the Palestinian Authority and the Arab world claim Jerusalem belongs to them and nobody else, and that their history goes all the way back to the Canaanites. But funny, they can't find any of that history. But yet in their own sacred book called the Quran, Jerusalem is not found in the Quran at all. There is not one single mention of Jerusalem in the Quran. Yet in the Old Testament, Jerusalem is mentioned 623 times. In the New Testament, it's mentioned 141 times. But folks, not once is Jerusalem mentioned in the Quran. I find that to be very, very interesting. Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel for over 3,000 years, since King David took it from the Jebusites. And folks, it has always remained the capital of Israel. It has always remained the capital of the Jewish people. I mean, the Jews can trace their ancestry. The Jews can trace their history, going all the way back to 1410 B.C., when Joshua and the Israelites made their conquest into the Holy Land shortly after the death of Moses. I mean, the Arabs didn't come on the scene until the 7th century A.D. We're talking, folks, some 700 years after the ministry of Jesus the Messiah. The Arabs did not come on the scene until the 7th century A.D. Yet you look at all of this history, all of this biblical archaeology in the Holy Land, it all substantiates that the Jews were in the land way before the Arabs came on the scene. There is also some Arab archaeology in the Holy Land, and that archaeology points to the Arabs being in the land from the 7th century A.D. and onward, some 700 years after the ministry of the Lord Jesus. In 1996, the Israeli government celebrated the 3,000th anniversary, King David taking the city of Jerusalem, to the ire of the Arab world, to the ire of the Palestinian Authority. And the world will condemn Israel for celebrating their history concerning their ancient homeland. And folks, it really doesn't matter what the world powers to be have to say. It doesn't matter what some politician says. It doesn't matter what some pastor says, or what some missionary says, or what some evangelists say, or whoever. The only thing that matters is what the scriptures say. The only thing that matters is what the Word of God says. And as long as we take the Bible for its plain sense, literal meaning, looking at the scriptures for their grammatical, historical, and literal interpretation, comparing scripture with scripture, we call that inductive Bible study. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. When we look at the scriptures for their plain sense, literal meaning, and look at it from a literal interpretation, we're looking at it objectively. But if we're going to spiritualize the Bible, if we're going to allegorize the text, as many Christians are doing today, we're not looking at the scriptures objectively. We're looking at the scriptures subjectively. We're looking at the scriptures subjectively. We're opening up the Bible to all types of doubts, all types of suppositions, but we're opening up the Bible to all types of speculations. And folks, the Bible, the Word of God, is perspicuous. The Bible is very clear. The Bible gives a very clear, unambiguous account of Jewish history, temple history, and of course, even Bible prophecy. So the world does not recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, including, ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America. The majority of nations today do not have their embassy in Jerusalem. The majority of nations today all have their embassies in Tel Aviv, including the United States, Russia, the United Kingdom, the European Union. You know, all of these guys have their embassies in Tel Aviv. And the reason why they have them in Tel Aviv and not in Jerusalem, because if we were to have an embassy in Jerusalem, then we're making a comment to the world that we recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Every U.S. president that runs for, well, I should say, every presidential candidate that's running for office always runs on the promise that they'll move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. All those presidential candidates who get elected for president never keep their promise. And today, the U.S. embassy is in Tel Aviv. Now we have a American consulate in Jerusalem, but the embassy is in Tel Aviv. But the United Nations doesn't recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. The United Kingdom, European Union, Palestinian Authority, and folks, the majority of nations out there today do not recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And as I said, it doesn't matter what people say. The Bible says in Romans 3:4, let God be true, but every man a liar. It only matters what God's word has to say. And as long as you take God's word for its plain sense, literal meaning, as long as you take God's word perspicuously, the Bible is very clear. The Bible gives us an unambiguous account of Jerusalem, history there, of God's program for Israel in the future, and, of course, Bible prophecy. Recently, the United Nations censored an Israeli display at the UN headquarters in New York concerning Jerusalem, Israeli Arabs, and what we would call Zionism. And those out there who hate Israel, those out there who hate the Jews, those out there who are extremely anti-Semitic, like Roger Waters, the man who was the founder of the rock band Pink Floyd, one of the most arrogant anti-Semites that are out there. These guys are saying that Zionism is racism. And folks, nothing can be further from the truth. You know, Zionism simply says, we believe the Jews have every right to come back to their ancestral homeland. And the Bible makes that very clear in many prophetic passages in the Old Testament, like Amos 9:15, Isaiah chapter 66, verses 7 and 8, and the dry bones vision of Ezekiel, chapter number 37, all prophesied that God would gather the Jewish people from the four corners of the earth after nearly 1,897 years being dispersed to the nations of the world, that God would bring them back to their own homeland. Folks, that is Zionism. The founder, Theodore Herzl, who was the father of modern-day Zionism, said it was time for the Jewish people to have their own homeland. He saw anti-Semitism rampant in Europe. Anti-Semitism everywhere. Jews being persecuted, killed, while wandering from nation to nation. He said it's time that the Jews have their own homeland. And he did not live to see his dream become reality. But folks, it really was no dream. It was Bible prophecy being fulfilled in the 20th century. I consider myself a Zionist because I believe the Bible. I believe what God says concerning the Jews. I believe what God says concerning Israel. I believe what God says concerning Israel's right to the land. That's not being racism, but someone who calls himself a Zionist, that's being a biblicist. That is believing every jot and tittle concerning what the Bible has to say about the Jewish people and, of course, their role in the future in Bible prophecy. So what these guys are saying today about Zionism being racism is just absolutely ludicrous at best. But the United Nations was seeking to censor an Israeli display at the UN headquarters about the holy city of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, how Israeli Arabs have it made in the land of Israel, how these Israeli Arabs, they're equal to Israeli Jewish citizens. They have the right to vote, the right to work, the right to start a business, the right to worship any way they want to worship. And then, of course, Zionism. The UN went out of their way to censor that Israeli display at the United Nations. What they were looking to do, folks, was to suppress the truth. This is what the display states, the Israeli display at the UN nation. This is why the UN got so upset, because the Israeli display said this, and I quote, "The Jerusalem poster presents the city," talking about Jerusalem, "as the spiritual and physical capital of the Jewish people. It shows pictures of holy sites and states that the Jewish people are indigenous to Israel." In other words, they are the original inhabitants of the land and have maintained a continuous presence in the land since 1000. Jerusalem has been the center and focus of Jewish life and religion for more than 3 millennia, or 3,000 years, and is holy to Christians and Muslims as well. Now, even though Israel is saying we've been in this city for 3 millennia, yet they still went out of their way to mention Christians and Muslims referencing the city of Jerusalem. But that wasn't good enough for the United Nations. They still went ahead and suppressed that truth by taking down that display. And folks, the Vatican in Rome does not recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, despite perspicuous, clear, biblical account of David taking it in 2 Samuel chapter 5. The position of the Vatican is that Jerusalem should be an international city owned by no one but them. The double standard there, folks. It should be an international city, but we should be running the show over there. But we will not recognize it as Israel's eternal capital. Folks, that just goes to show a clear ignorance of the Word of God. But, you know, Bible prophecy tells us that in the future, the battle will be for Jerusalem in the end times. We find this in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, where God said, "One day he will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. He will make Jerusalem a cup of intoxication." The reason why he uses the word intoxication, or in the Hebrew, the intoxication, is because today, you have those who are intoxicated with wanting to take Jerusalem for their own possession. So all the Jews and take Jerusalem. God says he will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. He will make Jerusalem a cup of intoxication. Then in verse number 3 of Zechariah chapter 12, God says that he will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. God says he will make Jerusalem a dead weight, that those who try to take Jerusalem from the Jews won't be able to do it. They'll get a hernia trying to lift up the city of Jerusalem. God said it ain't going to happen. I'll make Jerusalem a dead weight. I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. You'll break your back trying to lift her up. Then in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 2, God says, I will gather all nations to Jerusalem for battle. The battle is for the city of Jerusalem. In the end times, all nations will invade the Jezreel Valley. The Jezreel Valley is north of Israel, in the plains of Esdraelon, also known in Revelation 16:16 as Armageddon. All the nations of the world will gather at Armageddon, and they will make their way south. They will march south to the city of Jerusalem, where the battle will take place. Again, that's Zechariah 14:2. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem for battle. Why? Because, folks, today, the nations of the world hate God and they hate his Messiah. They hate his Son. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 tells us, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against his Mashiach, his anointed. That's where we get the Hebrew word for anointed, Mashiach, Messiah. Against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The nations of the world will invade the Jezreel Valley. Jezreel Valley is large enough to hold almost all the armies of the world in that very valley. Napoleon, when he fought in the Jezreel Valley, said this is one of the most strategic areas for a battle. You know, according to the United Nations, there are 192 nations in the world today. Let's say 100 of those 192 nations invade the Jezreel Valley. Those 100 nations produce 1 million soldiers apiece. So you have 100 million soldiers that invade the Jezreel Valley. 100 million soldiers can produce 600 million quarts of blood. Based on Revelation 14:20, the blood will flow as high as the horse's bridles. You do the math on that. 600 million quarts of blood, that's 50 quarts per foot for the space of 1,600 furlongs based on Revelation 14:20. 1,600 furlongs is exactly 176 miles from the Jezreel Valley to the entrance of Petra. Jesus will walk 176 miles through a valley of blood as high as the horse's bridles. The battle of Jerusalem will be absolutely a bloody battle, and that blood will be as high as the horse's bridles. Zechariah 1:14, God says, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. God's jealous for the city of Jerusalem. He's a jealous God. But yet in the literal Hebrew, God says, I am aggressively possessive of the city of Jerusalem. In Zechariah 1:15, God says, I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. But I was a little displeased, and they held forward the affliction. In other words, in the literal Hebrew, God says, I was sore displeased with the heathen who arrogantly think they own my city. And folks, that's what Palestinians say. They think that city belongs to them. God said that I was a little displeased, but they helped forward the affliction. In other words, God says, I was mad, but now they've really ticked me off. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse number 6, God says, I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there forever. In Matthew 5:35, Jesus calls the city of Jerusalem, Ha'er Shel HaMelech HaGadol, the Hebrew, the city of the great king. Because one day, the Messiah, who was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the city of David, will also reign from Jerusalem, Shozahav, Jerusalem, the city of gold, the city of David, during the millennial kingdom reign. Jesus will reign from the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7. Six times it tells us he's going to reign for 1,000 years. If God said it once, that's good enough for me. But when he says it six times, we better listen up. That's a literal, physical, bodily reign of Yeshua, Jesus, from the city of Jerusalem, from the land of Israel. In the eternal state, a new Jerusalem will come down from heaven and hover over the Jerusalem of the earth. That's Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. You will also have a new Jerusalem that will hover over the Jerusalem of the earth. This was foretold by the Jewish prophet Isaiah about the new Jerusalem in Isaiah 65:17 and Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 22. Because, folks, Psalm 122 and verse 6 tells us in Hebrew, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Why? Because one day the Prince of Peace will reign from that very city. When it says pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it's not talking about some humanitarian or some politician having an answer for the problems of the Middle East. When it says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for the Tsar Shalom. You're praying for the Prince of Peace himself to come and one day reign from that very city. So, folks, we see that the stage is set, the actors are in place, and the curtain is about to go up on the end time drama. Because we know that the next prophetic event on God's calendar will indeed be the rapture of the church of the living God. The Lord Jesus will shout. The archangel will shout. The trumpet will sound. The shofar. The dead in Christ will rise for us. We who are alive and remain, caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, what an exciting time to be alive and to see Bible prophecy being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Again, folks, the stage is set. Actors are in place. And the curtain is about to go up on the end time drama. What an exciting time to be alive and to see these things unfolded right before our very eyes. Jesus said in Luke 21:28 that when you see these begin to come to pass, he says, look up, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. In other words, Jesus said that when you see prophecy being fulfilled in its early stages, you better start looking up. He indeed is about to return. And again, folks, we are indeed living in some exciting times. Jesus is indeed coming. But the question is he coming back to you? If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, it's not too late to get saved. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, you can pray something like this. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you shed your blood for me. I repent of my sins today. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and I receive you as my personal Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, folks, that's all the time that we have. Don't forget to join us again next week as we once again come to you looking at a current news event in light of biblical prophecy. As August Rosado saying, keep looking up. Jesus is indeed coming soon. And remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.